Our next presentation, multi-year regional evaluation of 1 and 2 fungicide applications for the management of target spot on 2 varieties. Nick Defoe and his colleagues.
All right, well, thank you. So thank you for everybody for being here this morning. So I'll just kind of jump right in. So basically, target spot is a foliar pathogen, fungal pathogen of cotton. And what we were interested in is that we had seen some preliminary data before 2014 that showed fungicides could reduce disease and were leading to some yield increases for cotton. So what we decided to do is look at the effectiveness of these fungicides on managing target spot. And we wanted to look at 1 and 2 spray programs. And we also kind of had another little sub-objective in there is that what effect would variety have on these fungicide programs as well, so we can assess the effect of variety in trying to develop an integrated program for disease management. So this is a multi-region, multi-state project. We have had 7 states involved in this project. It's varied a little bit between 2014 and 2015. So the dots that are red are 2014 sites, and the dots that are blue are 2015 sites, and if they have a red, blue, they're in both sites. So the design for this was a 2x2x5 factorial design, where we're looking at 2 varieties, this being Phytogen 499 and Delta and Pineland 1137. We're looking at the 2 fungicide applications, generally around first bloom, although in 2015 we extended that for the northern regions to be 3 weeks after first bloom. And then we want to follow that application up with about a 14 or 20 day application after that. We had 5 fungicide treatments where we were looking at the untreated control to see what the disease level was in the plot. And then we had our 4 fungicides of Headline at 6 fluid ounces, TopGuard at 7, Pyraxor at 4, and Quadris at 6 fluid ounces. So looking at these locations, what we can see here is that in 2014 we had 4 sites that we got data on. In 2015, we ended up having 6 sites, although there is a 7th site worth of data that I haven't had a chance to process yet from Georgia. And looking at these 2 sites, what we can see is in 2014, our planting dates started out at 520 in Virginia and ended at 624 in Georgia. And then in 2015, we got a little bit better in getting these planting dates around the same time, starting at 55 in Alabama and ending at 513 in Quincy, Florida. The unique thing is if you look at the disease onset here, you can see that in 2014 we have a little more variability in our disease onset, which could be partly related to planting date and environment. But we still see some variability in 2015 with that disease onset, which is probably related more to environment than planting date. So the data I'm going to talk about is from 9 total sites. You can see down here at the bottom that the Virginia site here, we didn't have any disease in 2015. So even though I have 10 sites listed here, we're only going to talk about data from the 9 sites where we had disease. And what we're doing at each of these sites is we're doing disease ratings on severity, incidence, and defoliation. So those are disease variables there. I'm going to talk primarily about severity and defoliation in this presentation. We're also taking yield, and I'm going to focus on the seed and lint yield and not the gin turnout for this presentation. And we also have some general weather data, which I'll talk briefly about at the end. Looking at the peak defoliation, you can see in 2014, our defoliation values varied from 40 to 55% there, and in 2015, we varied from 35 to 61%, so we had a little more variation in 2015. So the first question we have is, what are the treatment effects that we have on disease? And what we're looking here for is the percent severity, so that's the percent leaf area that's infected with target spot and defoliation. So variety had a significant effect both on severity and defoliation. And what I've done here is I've tried to show the distribution of our severities across our 2 varieties. I'm excluding 2 sites, and you'll see on the next slide excluding other sites. These are the sites that were not significant for variety in these regions. So on our y-axis, we have our percent severity there, and you can see DP 1137 generally has a lower top end in severity compared to the Phytogen 499. So we're seeing higher severities occur in a portion of that distribution for 499. At defoliation, though, we can see a little more of a separation in our distributions there. So if you look here, DP 1137 now has a lower distribution than the Phytogen 49 when it comes to defoliation. So what we can basically see here is that Phytogen 49 has higher top end on disease and generally had more defoliation for the 2 years and sites of this trial. So looking at disease progress, how did the disease progress over the year? What I'm showing here first is the severity, and this is the percent severity recorded in each of these plots. And what we can see is in 2014, we had two sites here, Florida and Louisiana, that had high severity. And basically, we saw 60% severity in Louisiana in 2014, and about 40 to 50% severity in Florida, with the other sites all being below 20%. Moving into 2015, we see the highest disease severity only got to be about 50% in Florida, although that came back down into the 40s after that rating. And if you look at the other sites here, you can see they're all below 20%. One of the important things, though, to take home from this data, that even though our severity varied across locations, we're seeing similar trends in the response to the disease throughout the year. Now, defoliation, things were a little bit different, and we're seeing more similar trends, and our defoliation values are generally reaching the same peak. So at three sites in 2014, we got up around 40. And again, about three sites in 2015, we got up around 60%, with two sites here being more around 40%. So the low sites in 2014 was Georgia with less than 20% defoliation, and then Tennessee and Mississippi had about 40% defoliation in 2014. So we're seeing similar trends in defoliation, and we're seeing a little more variability in severity. So the question that we kind of had is, can we correlate these two disease values? And what we found is in 7 out of the 9 site locations that we had, there was a correlation, a positive correlation between defoliation and disease. And this is just the 2015 data here for Alabama, Florida, and Tennessee. And what you can see here is, though, that even though it's a positive correlation, it's varying between sites. So you can see here there's a stronger positive correlation here between J, Florida, and Alabama than we're seeing here for Tennessee and Florida. The important thing is that we're seeing a positive correlation between disease and defoliation. So then how did our fungicide treatments influence disease in these trials? In 2014, we had one site, the Georgia site, where we saw an influence of fungicides. And if we look here, we can see that the first fungicide application was within 4 days of the disease onset. At the other sites, our fungicide application varied between 7 and 41 days within disease onset, so there could be something there about fungicide application timing. How did it look? Well, basically, all the fungicide treatments were numerically lower than the untreated check. So what you can see here in the blue line, that's your untreated control over time. Then all the other fungicide treatments start to fall out below, with Headline and Pryaxir being consistently lower than the rest of the fungicide treatments there. The important thing to take home here is that the fungicides are reducing disease incidence and defoliation, but we didn't see the same trend at the other three sites in 2014. Moving into 2015, what we can see here is that we now have three sites where we had significant effects of fungicide on defoliation only. We did not see a significant effect of fungicide on severity in 2015. So the sites that had significant effects were Florida, the J site, Tennessee, and Alabama. If we look at disease onset here, we're not seeing that same close window that we saw in 2014. So we're seeing 7, 19, or 12 days difference between disease onset and the first fungicide application. But the trends are very similar to what we saw in the Georgia trial in 2014. If we look here, basically all the fungicides are lower than our untreated, and it's the same here in Alabama and the same in Tennessee, with our Pryaxir treatment showing up at all three sites being significantly less than the untreated check. And then we had a one site here where TopGuard showed up in Tennessee being significantly less than the untreated control. And this is for defoliation. So the question I kind of had, even with the significant sites and non-significant sites, could we see a trend in 2015 from our fungicides in the relation to defoliation? So over here we have our defoliation over time. So this is basically the AODPC value of defoliation. And what we're looking at is what's that distribution across all the sites in 2015. And what we can notice here is that the Pryaxir has the most change in its distribution compared to our untreated control right here in the 2015 trial. We do have a few outliers popping up here, but in general we're seeing a smaller distribution from the Pryaxir. So we're seeing more consistent results from that, and our mean values tend to be lower than what we see in the untreated control. Looking at the other fungicides, we can see that these distributions, while generally the mean values being a little bit lower than untreated control, we're seeing very similar distributions and a lot more overlap than what we saw with Pryaxir. So at least in the 2015 trial, Pryaxir provided the most consistent control for target spot and defoliation. So the next thing I want to talk about is our effects on yield, so the lint and seed yields. looking at the data, what we would expect here is we saw a significant variety effect, and we were thinking that if we had disease present, 1137 would have a little higher yield than 499 based on the idea of defoliation and disease intensity. When we add our defoliation values here, and we look in at just the two sites of Louisiana and Georgia, what we see here is the opposite trend occurring in 2014. So here we have phytogen 499 doing better in a higher defoliation situation than 1137. And if you move to Georgia, we have the 1137 doing better in a relatively lower defoliation situation than the phytogen 499. So this was kind of opposite of what we were expecting based on disease. But what this tells us is that variety is not only responding to disease, but other factors as well. However, in 2015, we saw this trend shift a little bit. And if we add the defoliation values above the different sites, any site that had a defoliation value greater than 50%, we saw at least a numerical or statistical difference that DP 1137 had higher yields than phytogen 499. And any site that had less than 50%, we can see the 499 is doing better than 1137. So it's possible in 2015 that disease had more of an effect on yield, and that we're seeing that trend related here in our varieties results from 2015. But we still know from 2014 data that there's more information involved in determining yield than just the disease. We did not see any effects except at one point for fungicides on yield. There was a two applications of headline of, in 2014 in Georgia that did lead to a significantly higher yield out of all of our sites. So the question then becomes, is there other correlations we can see with disease and yield factors from this trial? And we were able to see in 6 out of the 9 sites that we had, defoliation is negatively correlated to yield variables like lint. And when you look at it here, though, we're not really seeing a very strong correlation in here. But if we were to run equations through here, what we can see is if we take our highest defoliation value and we go to our lowest defoliation value, we're starting to see increases when we reduce defoliation of about 300 to 600 pounds per acre. So defoliation is very highly correlated with yield, and we know fungicides can have an effect on defoliation from these trials. So the take-home messages from this are, first, that the target spot, of course, disease onset severity varied among locations and throughout the southeast. This could be partly related to the weather and environment that we see there. Phytogen 499 generally had higher disease severity and defoliation than we saw with DP 1137. Fungicide applications did not directly impact yields except at one point in 2014, but fungicides do have an effect on defoliation, which is correlated to yield. The last thing I want to mention real quickly here is that we still have a lot to learn about this pathogen. We're trying to develop a good integrated pest management program using variety and fungicides for control, but we still don't know a lot about the biology or the epidemiology. So we're starting to go through some of the weather data that we have from 2014 and 2015. And we're using the optimal temperatures based on tomatoes and other crops for target spot. And when we look at this data, we start to see in cooler climates, we're seeing less disease. And in climates that have less rainfall, we're also seeing lower levels, relatively lower levels of disease, I should say, compared to the other sites. The other thing that's really important is if we look at here, we have our first flowering date with our disease onset date. And if you look at the different days after first flowering, what we can see is that disease onset either occurs at first flowering or anywhere from 12 to 46 days after first flowering. We did not see disease onset happen before first flowering. And this is important because generally around flowering, we're gonna see that canopy closure happen there. So I guess one of the important things that we've learned a lot about integrated pest management of target spot, but we still have a lot to learn about this pathogen and disease. And with that, I'll take any questions.
Time for questions.
So in these trials, you cut alleys between the replications.
So that's a good question. That's something we were talking about the other day. And now certain sites do have alleys open, and that has changed the disease intensity. And we need to go back and look at the agronomic practices in each of these areas too, because there we noticed at least on the edge in my Florida plots too, we tend to have lower disease next to those alleys. Oh, you got a question?
Yeah. For the presentation yesterday, differences across the regions, do you see any correlation with your in-season data with isolate aggressiveness?
That's a good question. Well, we're not inoculating an isolate on there.
So. No, but those isolates that were obtained from the Georgia presentation yesterday, were those relative to any of the locations that you guys have these studies in?
I'm sure, Bob, there's a few of those isolates in there for sure. I know we send isolates to Georgia as well. I would say it's probably changing some from year to year, at least in some of the Florida sites too. But there's probably a difference in aggressiveness between sites, and the meeting we talked about as well. I think that's one of the reasons our severity levels are different too. It could be the aggressiveness of the isolates too.
I'll say this, Jason, that two of our isolates were in that presentation from two locations in 2015. It was more related to growth. One site which had poor growth and hot weather, disease wasn't a problem, not difference. Where we had the same isolate or a similar isolate with good growth, we had statistical differences in yield by 200 to 250 pounds.
Thank you, Nick.
Yeah.